You are listening to the Improv Save My Life podcast, brought to you on Bits, the Boston Improv Talk Station. All right, welcome to episode 77 of the Improv Save My Life podcast. I'm your host, Tom Boyer. Two guests this week, first from Tide Pool, which is a Studio 40 team, a duo with the guest, Daniel Marchant.
Right on.
And Emily
DiPietro.
Very talented duo team that I've seen a couple times. And the other guest this week is Andy Devlin. What's going on, Andy?
Not much.
Andy is a member of the Mighty Zevlin, which is an awesome duo team. He's also a member of Viceroy, which is a Harold Knight team, top shelf Harold Knight team at IB on Wednesdays. And we'll be in an improv to sketch show May 1st and May 9th at IB.
Correct.
What's going on, guys?
Not much.
It's my second week in a row on the show.
Thanks for being here. So you're both members of duo groups, which is something that really interests me. I'm trying to get into myself, but I've always liked it. We'll talk about that in a bit, though. So first, Daniel, why don't we start with you? Where are you from originally?
I'm from Stoneham, Massachusetts, which is like 20 minutes north of here.
Home of Nancy Kerrigan.
Yes, home of Nancy Kerrigan. And everyone says she's kind of mean. So
I didn't know that.
I've heard that myself.
Yeah, enough people in the town have said she's mean that I now believe that she's probably kind of mean.
She got hit with a thing, though. It's...
Yeah. I don't know if she had that coming, but...
Say maybe that's why she's mad.
Maybe. And also Mario Cantone from Sex and the City was from
I was home. I had Thursday and Friday off last week. I was just sitting around, and The View came on, and he's like, he fills in as a co-host on The View, which is weird because it's generally only women. But apparently, if you're a gay man, that qualifies too in their eyes.
I don't know. It's the kind of job that Stoneham High School prepares you for. To film on the view.
It was so weird because I was only watching it. I was actually over at my parents' house. I was helping my dad put a floor in their bathroom, and so it happened to be on the background. And I'm like, they show like who's gonna be on the show before, so it's like, and Mario guest hosting Mario Cantone. And then they show all the women like come out, like kind of doing a little dance. I'm like, is he gonna be doing a little? And he was like the. Doing the biggest dance of them all. Anyway. did you come from a big family?
I'm the oldest of four boys. And then there's the two parents, which brings it to six, if I've done the math correctly. And then we've just got a lot of relatives that are all in towns, like right around Stoneham. So my farthest relatives live in Bedford, which is like 15 minutes away from Stoneham. So big...
Is Bedford or New Bedford? Or is
just Bedford, yeah. Because New Bedford's far away from
Stoneham. I was aware there was a Bedford. That's awesome.
Yeah, Bedford's like two towns over. It's like near Lexington. So, yeah, just a big family and everyone's in one.
Sounds like place. If you're in the town of Stoneham, you don't want to wrong anyone in your family either.
There's no distant... there's no relatives that live far away. Everyone lives close by.
Cool. So were you like always into comedy and stuff growing up?
Yeah, I think when I was a little kid... I must have done something that made like an adult laugh, and I just probably just started. Never then, I just probably kept talking for like from then until now. I think. I always liked sort of acting, making jokes. I've always liked sort of performance things, movies, and I think I think the first time I made like an adult laugh. I thought, ooh, that was a real joke, not like saying poop or like demented, which is a funny word.
Do you remember the first joke that you like wrote yourself?
I don't know.
I remember the first thing I thought that I kind of wrote myself in my own head and thought like this is intelligent for my age. I was in a mall. And we were passing by at Aubon Pain, and I'm like, I don't know what Aubon means, but I don't want to eat anywhere that it says pain. I thought it was like a
That's pretty funny. I think the first I remember one day going to get glasses. I had to get a new pair of glasses. I had glasses since I was like 3 years old. And I was telling every single person that would like stop to listen to me, why did the rhinoceros cross the road? And they'd say why, and I'm like, because the chicken was on vacation, and I just laugh. I think I thought it was the funniest thing that's ever been uttered. So that's like the first. That's my first original material.
How did you segue that into your career as an improviser?
No idea.
So how did you find yourself getting into improv?
In my third year of college, I think it was my third year of college, or maybe second year. Yeah, I was a junior. Yeah, I went an extra semester, so it was like kind of weird to.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thanks, Dev. Anyway, I joined them. I had been aware of the three comedy groups on the UMass. I went to UMass Amherst, UMass campus, and I had never been, one of the group I wanted to be part of was like a long form. I didn't really want to do like whose line is it anyway kind of games, and I didn't think I'd be very good at sketch comedy, despite that hilarious rhinoceros chicken joke. So I just kind of auditioned for, it was called IWA, Improv with Attitude, and I just thought this part would be fun. I just kind of went in very sort of like, if I get in, that'd be great. If I don't, that's cool too. And I just kind of went in to have fun. And then it worked out. I got in and I did have fun.
Nice. Did the IWA logo look like the NWA logo?
Yep.
That's awesome.
That was a joke. Now it's called Toast, though. They've changed it to Toast because not everyone gets the IWA, NWA joke. But I thought it was funny.
I'm starting a new show. It's just going to be at the Cambridge YMCA. It's geared towards like newer improv groups, and people without a group can go, and there'll be like an impromptu group there each week. But I just wanted to think of a cool name. I didn't have anything. And I've been listening to Tribe Called Quest a lot.
I dabbled.
So check the run. There's like, you on point five all the time, Tip. And I love that. And I don't know why. It just kept sticking in my head, so I called it On Point Improv.
There you go. It's on point.
Yeah.
That was my rap connection. Anyway, so after college, did you start taking class?
After, I feel like about a year after college, I think Dev also went to UMass Amherst. It was also in the group. We weren't in the group at the same time.
We were.
I joined like just after Dev had left. But I
was
met...
he on the poster when you got there?
Oh yeah, he was a legend.
Oh, behave.
But I met you that when I was still in college.
Yeah,
yeah. And then like a year out of college, you were forming a team for.
I signed up for a cage match.
A cage match, yeah. I didn't propose.
I didn't have a team.
Yeah. I signed up for a cage match, and so he asked if I wanted to do it, and I said, yeah, definitely, because I hadn't done improv in, like, a year. And then through, that was really, really fun, because it was fun to just kind of go back and do that. And then we got to championships.
Yeah.
And at the championships, Emily's team was the other team, and then I reconnected with Emily for the first time in, like, 3 years.
How did you know Emily?
I've known her since elementary school. And then we were friends in high school. And then we sort of lost touch in college, not for, like, any reason. Just, you know, it happens.
Did you see her at the finals and, like, Emily?
Yeah. I literally was like, hey, Emily. So it was really weird. And then
going down.
Yeah. So we started hanging out again and just, like, reconnecting. And then after some show, we both said, you know, we should do a team and submit to a cage match. And that's how Tidepool got started.
Cool. I don't know where I saw you guys. I saw you at the Riot, and I was really impressed. You did one long scene. You were just waiting for a bus, but
I remember that one.
It was it was really interesting. I like the mono scenes.
And I think
I'm a fan of that format.
We came to that because we both really like the idea of just. It's just two people, you get a suggestion, you just kind of go. And, like, you can't save this. Like, if the scene's not working, you have to just figure out a way to save it. And if the scene's really working, it can keep going. Like, it's not going to get cut short or anything. Yeah.
You had a lot of realistic reactions. Like, you seem like two people that were actually having a conversation, which is good. Because a lot of times you'll see these things and it's two people playing characters or two mm-hmm. people just trying to make something happen.
Yeah.
Where it felt really organic with you two.
Thanks very much. Sometimes it's probably just two people trying to make something happen. Is that what life is?
Yeah. Andy, where are you from originally?
I'm actually from Braintree. Nice. Massachusetts, south of Boston.
South Shore.
Yeah, you're from the South Shore?
I'm Dorchester. I'm bordering on the South
Shore. That's technically Boston. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you, Tom. I'm on your show, so.
We always went to South Shore when I was a kid, like, because we didn't want to go through the city to go to the North Shore to go to a mall or something.
Yeah.
So we would go to the Braintree Mall. Yeah. We'd go to the Quincy Center movie theater when it was there, and then...
The Cameo? No, that's in Wayman.
No, it was...
The one near, like, the R&B?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to go to that.
Yeah.
That's shut down.
Yeah. It is.
It was, like, $2.50 a ticket. It was great.
Yeah, I went to it when it was legit theater.
Not even!
I saw the 1989 Batman there.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's cool.
I saw Sin City there, and I drank a 40.
Nice.
They were cool.
So, grew up in Braintree. Did you come from a big family?
No, I just have one brother and my parents.
Cool.
Your brother lives in New York now.
Awesome. He was in Braintree too at one point.
No, he grew up in New York.
He grew up in Stone with us, actually. Yeah. It's really weird.
He's the Jon Snow of the family.
Oh, yeah. He has to defend the wall, so.
Were you funny as a kid?
Sometimes. It was interesting. Like, in school, I wasn't. Like, but I had a Cape house. And when I'd go down there, like, for the summer, that's when I get my yuck, so. Like, I'd be very funny. For about 2 months.
Was it a different set of people?
It was people I actually knew from Braintree that had houses there as well. And then I'd be really funny. And then I'd go back and just be like, ugh, you know.
did anybody ever comment on it? Like, dude.
No. I mean, they're in different grades. So that they'd see me the hug. Like, you're so funny. And I'd be like, I just, you know. It's like a Clark Kent Superman kind of thing. Except way lamer.
So when did you break out of your shell, I guess?
Probably in college. The group IWA was a great group. I just went to an audition and happened to get in. I wasn't thinking much of it. And then
it was just something to do at college?
Yeah, essentially. And actually, I really struggled my first year at it. I think I almost got kicked out.
Really?
Which is ridiculous because it's like college improv too.
Yeah.
But then I really just like kind of flipped a switch and turned it on.
I haven't heard that lore.
I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty confident. I was bummed.
Yeah. Good self-awareness, I guess.
So you can turn it around, kids, if you're listening.
Oh, yeah, there's always time.
So you did the IWA thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you go from there?
Actually, this year I got out of college. I lived in Chicago for a little bit. I interned.
To study improv?
Yeah, I had an internship at The Annoyance. So I did lights there, and I studied at IO. But then I actually was getting a little homesick, and I came back.
The Annoyance, somebody took a workshop there. I don't know if this is true or not. This is their brief recap.
Good.
It's like if you go out as a pirate and somebody else goes out as a police officer or something even less related, you just stick with it regardless.
It's kind of I think their philosophy, the best way to put it, is by taking care of yourself, you're taking care of your partner. So if you go out there and you're eating a cheese sandwich, just keep eating that sandwich. I'm like, with any theater, like, they have their philosophies, but, you know, do they always follow it? Probably not.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself using any of those skills you picked up?
Yeah. From everything, I just kind of – I take some and I leave some. You know what I mean? Like, I really – until I moved back here and, like, I had no idea, like, UCB, I didn't really know how different, like, people's philosophies on improv was.
Cool. So you ended up moving back here.
Mm-hmm. You're about two and a half years from back.
Did you go through the IB curriculum?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I liked it a lot. It's, you know, right up there with both the IO and Annoyance, to be honest.
At what point did you meet Mike Zakarian?
We got cast on Viceroy, and we actually had a really good first beat scene that we really liked, and he said, hey, let's try out for Studio 40, and I thought he was kidding around, because back then, duos in Studio 40 was unheard of, and then, you know, we got in and went from there.
Cool. And you guys, you had a pretty good run last summer. You won the duel at IA.
Yeah.
I think you did a bunch of cage matches. You won.
You got the ring.
You won the two-on-two tournament I put on.
Yep.
Weren't we in the cage at the same time at one point? Ty Pool and Vizella.
When you beat us?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were. And we faced each other in the championship.
That's right. That's what, that was really fun.
I remember the last cage match I did. We were going against The Quarry, which who I'd never seen before, which is a really good group. But
like the name.
Quarry and Tidepool, I got switched up my head. They're both water-based somehow. Locations, I guess. I'm like, damn. What I thought was Tidepool, like, we don't have a chance. And then it was The Quarry, and we didn't win anyway.
Well, I remember when we were doing like Facebook statuses for the cage match, Mike would comment under every single one with the hashtag Mighty Zevon.
Oh, he was a troll. Which I was too, to be
honest. I just thought it was really funny. It was just nice to be in competition with a group that you actually everyone got. I think more or less. Like, I don't think we all liked each other.
Yeah.
I think it wasn't like.
Well, we should check in with Mike because I don't know if he likes you.
Yeah, he doesn't respond to my texts anymore. But I never gave him my number, so that's probably why.
I think either you or Mike mentioned you're doing Duo Fest.
Yeah.
Where is that?
That's in Philadelphia. It's, what's the name of the theater? I think it's FIT, P-H-I-T, or P-I-T. I don't know. It's a,
should
it's
be FAT.
I'll talk to them.
Yeah, let them know. That. Tom Boyer of the Improv Saved My Life podcast has some notes for you guys.
Yeah, it's like a weekend celebrating duos. Two gentlemen will be there as well from Boston. They're great.
So is the plan for you guys to continue together, even though you're separated?
Yeah, we're doing a long distance thing. Yeah, we have a few festivals coming up, and I think we have a pitch show in New York next Sunday, which should be fun. I always like performing there.
Cool. And you're still on Viceroy, right?
Yep. Yep.
How's that going?
Good. Good. We had a fun show last week. We have 9 now, which is fun.
9 cast members?
9 cast members, yeah. We usually had 8 or 7.
How do you like the Herald as a structure?
I love it. I love my team. I love Viceroy. It's just sometimes I look at it like, as if I'm like a random person walking in on the street and I'm going to see a Herald, like, I'm not going to know what's going on, even if it's funny. But I do think there's a lot of value in, like, doing it because it sets up other forms, you know what I mean?
The Just Suspects had a Herald night last fall, mm-hmm. Which I participated in. So I had a limited experience with Herald. It was like a 6-week run.
Yeah.
Laurie Strauss was a teacher. And,
she's great.
Yeah, she was great. But just that was like our only exposure to it was a couple of coaching sessions. And like, I think we did our first show, we had our first session kind of explaining the Herald, like at 7, and then we did the Herald at 8.
How was it? Was it fun?
It was fun. I don't think we really grasped the concept at first, but I liked it a lot. I like, if you're not in a scene and you know what the beats are coming up,
yeah.
If you're on the sidelines, you have a little bit of time to think. Try to think of a creative offer. Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I might have come out front. Like, I do.
I know what you mean with like someone just coming off the street.
Yeah.
It can be a very like. I mean, if it's funny, it's funny, and that's pretty much that's basically all that matters. But it's a very like insidery kind of like it's like improv for improvisers.
I've seen like funny Heralds that weren't good Heralds, and I've seen great Heralds that weren't funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So where you are now in your improv career, like, how do you feel, and where do you ultimately want to be?
I mean, I don't really, I just like to get out there. I'm not really, I mean, I like doing Mighty Zevon a lot. I love the Mono scene. I love just two-person stuff. So I'm just kind of taking it as it comes, you know. I'm pretty content right now.
And what about you?
Sort of pretty much the same. I mean, that's kind of where we asked Dev to be our coach for Studio 40, because I just kind of thought that we all kind of had a similar outlook on improv. And yeah, I mean, I just like, Emily and I have always had like a nice connection since we were in shows together. We've always kind of, the same things make us laugh. We're both a little weird. And it's just really fun doing, we love the Mono scene. It's just really fun doing like these scenes that it's just the two of us, and we can kind of just do our sort of weird thing. And it's, yeah, it's really fun. I really like it a lot.
So let's talk two people, two-person improv. So I just started a team that Andy's also directing.
Monotone.
Monotone. with me and Laura Burley. And it's very similar. Like, we have very similar senses of humor. We both have very monotone deliveries of our speaking voices. But I think, I don't know why I like two-person scenes, but even I've found myself in situations where I'd be in a group and only me and another person would show up on multiple occasions. So I have experience of doing random two-person scenes that weren't planned out, but I enjoy it a lot. I think partially because I'll tell you why I like it, and if you guys can tell me why you guys are into it, maybe we'll have some of the same reasons. You only get to perform so often, and it's cool that during your allotted time, you're going to be on stage that whole time. Like that you get to learn a lot, because you don't get to just go off to the back line or the sideline. And if you're having a bad show, and be like, well, you guys take it. You know? You got to work through whatever. And if something's not working, you got to make it work or find something that works. Yeah, and I like having somebody in particular that you can learn their sense of humor and learn what works with, you know, what they do that works and what you do that works, and eventually you'll, you know, figure it out together. I like that as well. What appeals to you guys about two-person improv?
I mean, yeah, I like this sort of knowledge that it's just the two of you, and if it works, it's going to be great. And if it doesn't work, like, you know, now you know. I just kind of like that. I kind of like that aspect of that it's all on you two. Like, there's no one else to, like, oh, that was a bad set. It's like, well, it's only the two of us. Like, you're right. One of us or both of us.
Only me.
And, I mean, there was just, I did some improv in high school for, like, as, like, I was in a drama club, and they would do, like, improv scenes, like, you know, get used to being on stage and like that. And then there was some occasional times in college where like you're doing a scene and it's like, and then there can be that, you know, then someone just sort of comes in and like, then whatever the scene that was just happening is over, but wasn't necessarily like, wasn't really given time to, what's the word I'm looking for?
Develop.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you can't, yeah. If it's a, you can't just have two people. And when it's a six-person group, you can't just have two people in it the whole time. That's terrible. But there have been times where it's like, well, that scene was kind of going somewhere. It's too bad that, you know, it got sort of jumped on or pounced on or whatever. And so it just, yeah. You know,
pounced on.
Yeah, pounced on. Yeah. Just kind of, yeah, pounced on.
Pounced
on. Yeah. I'm sticking with that phrase, pounced on. so, yeah, it's just kind of freeing to know that no one's going to, no one's gonna pounce on anyone, right? And yeah, but at the same time, that doesn't mean like, okay, now we can just do whatever we want for 10 minutes. It's like, no, let's do something good. And I like the idea of two people still being able to do like a big scene. Like, that's something that Dev and Mike do really well, and I'm a big fan of TJ and Dave. I think they do that really, really well. Like, it's
they
a two like groups that it's two, like, I've seen Dev and Mike do scenes where it's like it's just the two of them, but they're like these epic like multi-character scenes where, you know, they're switching characters. Mike's playing the character Dev was playing like 10 minutes ago. It's pretty awesome.
I think that takes some work because I don't think I wouldn't be comfortable doing that right now.
We just happened in a show and then we're like, oh, this is kind of our thing now. I don't know.
It's good. I like it a lot. What about you? What appeals to you about it?
So the burden of creation thing, like you guys are talking about, like, and for me, like, if I'm on the sidelines, I might, like, start thinking, get in my head, and, like, even if I had a good scene, I got to go up there and, you know, do it again. Whereas, like, just doing one long scene, it's just, like, you're in it to win it, you know? And something about longer storytelling I like better.
You're doing a play.
Yeah. Well, the comparison I was going to make is, like, I feel like short form's all about singles, like, in songs, whereas, like... long form is like it's all about the album.
Yeah.
Long form is like the dark side of the moon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is great, you know. Okay. Both of those appeal to different people, but I've always been a Floyd fan, so I probably just rambled. That makes no sense.
No, I know what you mean.
So at the end of our last coaching session, it was almost like a cliffhanger. Like, so what about Dragon Mono scene? Like, we can try that. So
that, I thought in the beginning you're like, I don't want to do that.
Well, I know you do Titanfall does mono scenes. Mm-hmm. You guys do mono scenes. I don't want to be the third team associated with the Mighty Zevlin doing mono scenes.
That's so many people do mono scenes.
Yeah.
Like,
I kind of want to do it.
Yeah, then let's do it. Let's get right down to it.
And I kind of like the idea of a group sort of had like Emily and I do lots of mono scenes, but the most recent show we had. We had 30 minutes and we did like 12 different scenes, and they weren't, not all of them were of like, some of them were a little longer than others, but like we went out there kind of expecting, oh, we'll do like two mono scenes basically. And then it just kind of, then we ended up doing like 12 scenes. And I kind of like the idea of just sort of,
letting it happen.
Yeah. Like we have to do a mono scene because that's what Tidepool does. But
yeah.
I think if we had tried to do that at our last show, I think we would have done 10 minutes of really good jokes. And then, 20 minutes of trying to find the jokes again.
Nice. Let's try this movie game. So it's called the Made Up Movie Game.
Okay.
It's all you, man.
So what I'm going to do is put my iPod on shuffle. Whatever the next song that plays will be the title of the movie I'm going to ask you to make up. Yeah, it doesn't have to be related to the song. It's just what we're using to get this title.
Like, make up the plot for that movie?
Yeah, so as if you're watching a movie on Comcast, and you hit the info button.
What this movie's
about. Just the blurb, and then from there, we'll do a scene or two from that movie. Cool?
Sounds like fun.
All right.
I just had a weird one last week.
Heavy is the Head is the name of the song.
So that's the name of the movie, Heavy is the Head.
Yeah.
Heavy is the Head is about a billionaire who is trying to divide up his house, not his holdings, just his physical house, which who's going to get what part of his house. Like, his son's going to get like the west wing, his daughter's going to get the east wing, and then the other two sons are fighting over the central wing, if central wing is a thing.
Children, children, come hither.
What is it, Dad?
Address me as sir, son, please.
Sir, sorry, I was just, sir, what is it, sir?
Sir.
I'm not going to be with you gentlemen much longer.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, that's why we're all here, we're really excited.
Yeah, what's the central issue that's going on with you?
Fine, I thought you'd show your dying old man some respect once.
I want to know what I get. I want to know if I get the central wing.
Well, you're the center of my life. I just want to let you know that.
Just a little ham-handed if you think about it, sir.
Shut up.
Neither of you are getting the central wing.
No, come on. I'm definitely more deserving.
It's going to your sister.
You already gave her the west wing.
Did I?
So she's got the west wing, and Rodney's got the east wing. The central wing belongs to me or Stacy.
Yes. And she already has a Nissan Altima. I don't have a car. So that's a thing.
You boys are too worried about material belongings. I'm trying to show you the true meaning of life.
born into money. We don't know any other way to live.
I wasn't, though.
Yeah, you earned
it. I had
it.
To come up from the ashes, sons.
Yeah, you got a better attitude. We're spoiled.
Well, to be fair, you're really into your grill. And that's pretty material, to be honest.
That's a valid point. Makes a good point.
Listen, I made my fortune by selling and cooking Omaha steaks. That's nothing to laugh at, boys.
Sorry, sir.
Sorry.
They're tasty, delicious
steaks.
They
are good.
Not from Omaha, though. That is a misnomer.
This Omaha steak money is not going to last forever the way you two spend it.
Well, it's ours. And if I were to get it, if I were to get the central wing, I'd knock down a couple walls, make it look really nice.
I'd change it to just the center, because it's not really a wing. It's in the middle. I think that name is confusing.
I'd build a statue to you, sir. I'd build a statue with a plaque that said, "He earned his money."
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
What's to you, son?
Wait, give me a rebuttal. This is what I earned a rebuttal. I've been your son.
All right? In fairness, you have a minute to rebut.
I'd get McDonald's to cater your funeral.
Don't mess up.
Shut up. And I'd say, they'd say, have it your way, like my dad did, because he started poor, and now he's rich. Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Son, I would never eat McDonald's.
Well,
and have it your way was Burger King's slogan.
I'd spend my every waking moment to resurrect you.
I'm grieving right now, so I'm a little confused.
I'd bring you back to life, sir. You could be immortal.
But then I would want the central wing.
The center.
It's not yours yet.
I did put a foosball table in the center wing.
I do love foosball.
Great. It's tough to move. I'd have to move it if I didn't get it. You'd probably have to help. I'm just saying that.
He makes a valid point.
I'm not going to help. If
it's made of granite.
If I don't get it, I wash my hands of everything. I pull up stakes.
You would.
Not stakes as in stakes. Not stakes as in stakes.
You had me at stakes.
No.
Then you lost me at stakes.
Stakes. I mean, stakes is in stakes, not stakes is in stakes.
You're making a mistake right now. But
I think you boys need to learn to share is what you need to do.
Sure. I mean.
I've been trying to.
If you give me the central wing, I'll definitely share it.
Is our sister out of the picture? It's because you were offered to her at first, and now we've been talking.
I have Alzheimer's, son. I forgot she had the West Wing.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, at least you don't have Alzheimer's, right?
That's right. I'm making my decision. I'm going to cut the Central Wing in half.
Oh. Okay, so.
And whoever loves the Central Wing more.
I'll go in the crack because I love the center so much.
Who gets the west wing of? Who gets the western half of the sodden half central wing? That's what I want to know. Is that a no?
He's holding the center of his chest.
What does that mean? I never went to medical school.
I don't. Yeah.
My pills.
Oh. He's got it open almost.
Wait a minute. Who gets the wing?
Yeah, come on, don't leave us like that.
I don't want to move that foosball table.
This is bullshit.
Well, he pretty much pointed to me. Which, let's be honest, be fair.
He pointed to me, but the pills slid out of the bottle towards me. They literally formed an arrow.
Our dad doesn't have the force, all right?
I didn't say you had the force. I'm saying the pills knew what his decision was going to be.
You believe yourself when you say that.
Nope. You know what? I gotta be honest. I don't believe myself. I think I'm making that up.
Listen.
I have a healthy amount of shame. I'm making that up.
You can play foosball whenever you want in my wing.
I want the western half of it, though. I don't want the west wing. I want the western half of the central wing. It's got the best tables.
All right. Yeah, let's go. Let's just leave them here.
Deal.
My dad. Oh, you're dead.
Right, that was What was that song?
Heavy as the head.
Heavy as the head. I've been hooked on Genius, like on iTunes. Genius will recommend songs.
Yeah.
And then I'll just, I'm addicted. Like, I'm like, ooh, this is kind of good. And I just download it. I'm like, and then
you pay for it?
Yeah. I'm done. I used to download everything like off Napster and then LimeWire, and then all my computers kept getting like messed up, and then like I couldn't get the music back, and I'm like, well, that was a waste. So now I'm just strictly iTunes, which I was thinking about earlier today. Just some glaring omissions from iTunes. No, there's no Tool on iTunes. There's no Dr. Dre the Chronic isn't on iTunes.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's a Suge Knight thing.
That's unsettling.
Yeah. Some of his later stuff is.
Yeah.
Ain't Gonna Hurt Nobody, the theme from House Party 2.
I never got into that wonderful franchise, but maybe, I guess.
Not on iTunes.
Wait, have you watched all the House Parties?
I stopped at 2, Pajama Jammy Jam.
How many House Parties are there?
I think there's 4.
Yeah, I think I don't know if Kid and Play were associated with the 4th.
So it's a quadrilogy?
All I know about House Party is you ever see Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back?
Yeah.
The running joke, like, this is going to make House Party look like House Party 2. Like, and I was like, oh, House Party 1 must have been a great movie.
I don't know. I was at the right age, I guess, to find those movies entertaining.
I have a guilty pleasure. I love the movie... Well, actually, I have 2 that come to mind for comedies. Saving Silverman. Have you ever seen that film?
Yeah, I like that
movie. It's all right.
And MacGruber. I love MacGruber.
MacGruber's pretty good. Funny.
All right, I guess you guys all like them.
Yeah. You know, guilty, like,
what do you got?
There's a. Have you ever seen the movie Dick Tracy with Warren Beatty?
Yeah.
Where they try
That's
to make
an Oscar nominated film.
I don't think it did very well. I can't
remember. No, he got nominated for an Oscar for it.
I know he got nominated. Yeah. I think the movie was like, everyone thought it was like stupid. And I like it that it's so, they do it only in like primary colors to make it look just like the comic strip. And that's kind of like my guilty pleasure movie. I tell people like, you should see Dick Tracy. And everyone's like, no one's going to see Dick. You're the only person that likes Dick Tracy, which can't be true.
I was in Disney World the summer that movie came out, and it was a Disney movie.
Yeah.
And I think we were there prior to it coming out. So everything was Dick Tracy back then. And like all over Disney World. And I had this stupid watch. But it was just a cheap one that you, it would just light up and stuff.
Yeah.
But you're a kid, so you can pretend. So I was literally, and I think I was all hopped up on some kind of asthma medicine, like steroids. So I was like, flying around. My parents were just like trying to get me under control, but I was just tapping my watch and like doing gun fingers everywhere, like being this totally annoying, like zooming in and out of people and like pretending to shoot. It was so embarrassing.
I still do that.
I
think the first time I saw it, I think I was on cold medicine, and it's like a, you know, all the gangsters have like these grotesque like prosthetic makeup. Al Pacino is kind of unrecognizable, and so the first time I saw it, I knew that I liked it. But I was also, like, really kind of, like, freaked out. My dad was like, you would like this movie. But I was just kind of, I was just sort of drowsy. And it was just kind of, it was a little terrifying, a little bit. But it's good. I own it on DVD.
Really?
That's how much I've committed to my enjoyment of Dick Tracy.
Remember the first Lord of the Rings movie I saw? I think I had a stomachache or something. And I just, it was so long, and I was just, like, I was mad during it. And, like, I didn't see either of the other two until the third one came out. So, like, but that's a long period of time, because they came out like every 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
And like, people would talk to me about, like, I don't want to hear about it. Like, Lord of the Rings sucked. And then I saw, I don't know, somebody convinced me to see the third one. And then I went back to watch the first one. I'm like, that's pretty good.
I'm the same way with the Spring Breakers movie. I saw that in theaters, and I got probably the worst food poisoning of my life. Like, I lost 10 pounds in a day. Like, just, oof. All the things.
Yeah.
And I'll never see the next 2 Spring Breakers movies because of
that. Are there going to be 2 more?
No. It's my bottom 5.
It doesn't get good until
they're making a sequel, but...
They are?
Yeah, James Franco's not going to be in it.
Oh, no.
It's just like, it was I don't know, it was like a music video.
It's a bad movie.
You saw it?
Yeah. That's actually one of the worst movies. You ever seen the movie?
It's not very good, but he's good in it.
Yeah, he has some... Yeah, I mean,
performance art though.
Yeah,
he's just so The worst movie I ever saw was it's a German movie, In a Year with 13 Moons.
Oh, I saw that. Don Levine's class?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a terrible film.
It's
really bad. I had to watch Die Hard that night to kind of cleanse my
It's great medicine.
The worst movie I saw in a theater was some Jerry O'Connell movie. Tomcats.
I saw Tomcats.
Oh, that was terrible.
Wait, so there's some sort of deal that they're all trying to get some money, right?
I don't know. At one point, somebody gets... I think Gary Busey's son, gets his testicle taken out by accident. Classic. And then they're trying to catch it, and they're playing like dropsy with the testicle, and then somebody ends up eating it. I'm like, this is...
Jake Busey's great, because he looks like Gary Busey, and he can do all the Gary Busey things, but he's not crazy like Gary Busey is. So if you want like young Gary Busey, but... You can just get Jake Busey.
Are you plugging Jake Busey?
I'm plugging Jake Busey. Everyone, Jake Busey is a really underrated actor. He's right up there with
Scott Kahn.
Scott. He's the same exact thing. James Kahn's getting up there, gonna retire. Old.
Yeah.
We need this new generation of older actors to come. Yeah.
I don't know if Colin Hanks got the game.
No.
Take Tommy. I mean, he's trying. God bless him.
Michael Cera is kind of like that for Jesse Eisenberg, sort of like.
Doesn't seem age.
I thought they were father and son. I thought that was they were related.
Jason Ritter's not bad.
No, he's good.
It's John Ritter. Yeah, he was in Freddy vs. Jason. Yeah. Right.
Freddy vs. Jason Ritter.
Take that and you build a life with that. All right, you make money and you go.
Freddy vs. Jason Ritter.
New franchises. What do you guys want to talk about? You guys any?
I'm enjoying movies.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Bad movies. Bad movies are always good. I once walked out of The Stepfather. That movie.
Recent, right?
Yeah, I can't remember anybody, but it was
a horror movie.
Yeah,
and it was a remake.
It was a remake of a horror movie. I know the original had Terry O'Quinn from Lost.
Yeah.
I was reviewing it for the school newspaper, but I walked out, and I still wrote a review, which is not professional. But the movie was awful.
All right, here's another weird story. So. I love the movie Phenomenon with
John Travolta. I love that. I had that soundtrack, that Eric Clapton song.
Yeah, Chance the World featuring Babyface.
What?
Babyface.
The rapper?
No, Kenneth Babyface Edmonds. He sang When Can I See You Again.
Oh, yeah, I know that song.
Yeah. He sings in the Eric Clapton song.
I just remember
song.
He goes, change the world. Yeah, I don't know.
He's the guy that does the pitch behind him.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm getting that movie confused with Michael. Is Michael the John Travolta movie?
Yeah, he's an angel.
He's sleep standing up. That's all I remember.
Yeah.
I love that. He had, not magical powers, but he could, like, spin pens and break mirrors.
Well, he had a brain tumor.
Yeah, which doesn't make sense. Why would you be able to do that with it? I guess focus and energy.
I don't know.
Anyway, there's a Phenomenon 2 on IMDb starring Terry O'Quinn. That's why I thought of it. But it was supposed to be a series, like Phenomenon the series. It was going to be on like ABC Family or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't get picked up, so they just took the pilot and like first episode made it into a TV movie. But it's the same story as Phenomenon 1, so I don't know why they would call it Phenomenon 2. Like, doesn't continue the story. And I was disappointed. And I can't find any frigging clips of it anywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
When did it come out? Like, early 2000s?
Yeah, before people started recording everything to save... That's my Phenomenon 2 story.
I remember, like, my family was so into that when we put that soundtrack on at, like, cookouts. Like, that song was... That was it, like, 97?
97,
that song was huge in my family. Like, mainly the Clapton one.
Yeah.
I don't know about the other songs on it.
I think it was kind of like that with Moonstruck, the movie with Cher.
Were you even alive when Moonstruck came out?
No,
you have a lot older taste.
But my mom was. Dick Tracy, Moonstruck... John Travolta, he's the guy from Welcome Back, Kotter. That's who I know.
He's a weirdo.
My mother is a big John Travolta fan. And he dances in every friggin' movie he's in.
He does.
And who else dances in every movie he's in? Sam Rockwell.
Yes. Really?
Christopher Walken dances in a lot of his movies.
Just fun.
Christopher Walken's great.
Sam Rockwell was one of the ninja henchmen in Ninja Turtles 2.
Really?
Yeah.
He's also an IB graduate.
Is he?
No. That's... you know, I like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, where they go to Japan.
I've never seen it.
That's a good one. That is a good one.
I think I put my foot down at being, like, 16. I'm like, I'm not seeing that with a camera.
Yeah, that was a good one. It's fun.
I didn't think the new Ninja... Did anybody see the new Ninja Turtles?
No. The live-action one or the cartoon one? Because they've made two, right?
Yeah, the newest one.
Yeah, Megan Fox, that looked pretty bad.
It wasn't as bad as people make it out to be. Yeah. I hate when people say, like, oh, this destroyed my childhood or something. Like, it's just something so different.
I think it's more... That comes from people realizing, oh, I'm not a child anymore.
Yeah.
Like...
Well, Star Wars.
Yeah, it is bad.
The new Star Wars.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, that doesn't take away from being enjoying the... Basically, you watch a movie like the original Star Wars as a kid, and you really like it. And then when you watch it as an adult, you can still like it. Like, it lasts through the generations. Whereas a little kid probably really likes The Phantom Menace, and then you turn 12 and you start to realize, oh, that's not very good. I think people were just getting mad at that. Like, well, I'm not a kid anymore.
So I rewatched The Phantom Menace, which came out when I was 20. Recently, because I was doing the Star Wars show at The Riot, right. And I wanted to just familiarize myself with the crappy ones. The Phantom Menace is terrible, and it's worse than I remember it being. Like, Jar Jar is like, I don't know why I could tolerate him when I was 20, but now, it's like, Jesus,
well,
get off.
Just, well, it's also your first taste of Star Wars in like 20 years, you know what I mean? So, like, I'll put up with this.
Yeah.
George Lucas.
When I was little,
Anakin is the worst, though. Yeah. The kid that plays Anakin, the first.
Jake Lloyd.
First thing he says to Padme is like, are you an angel? Shut up. You've seen girls before, dude.
Yeah. He's in a Christmas classic, Jingle All the Way.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, he's stronger than that.
He is.
He literally...
That's like Bill Hartman's last movie.
Go on on top. He's Seinfelder, you know?
Yeah, he had some. He was in some stinkers.
I love Bill Hartman.
No, I mean Jake Lloyd.
Yeah.
I was 9 when Phantom Menace came out, and so I was like, "Oh, Jar Jar's funny, and I like all the action." And then I was like, 2 years later, I was like, "This is not that good."
So I don't know. I got hung up on Anakin. Like he gets like Qui-Gon is like, "We're freeing you as a slave," and he's. His first instinct is like, woohoo, and he does a little dance, and then he thinks like, oh, wait, my mom still is like, dude.
He's a pretty stupid kid. Like, if he's, like, he's just kind of not a very bright, bright young kid in that movie. And it's just a lot of, like, Jar Jar's really racist, and it's just kind of,
I think it says a lot about Anakin that he built C-3PO, like, the lamest robot you can find.
Yeah.
Like, that's his personality.
That's such a bizarre detail.
That's the one thing I was like, as a kid,
they just wanted to get C-3PO.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even as a 9-year-old, I was like, why is Darth Vader the guy that built C-3PO? Why do we even know who built
C-3PO? It should just be a random droid.
Just like, why are the stormtroopers all clones of Boba Fett's dad? Like, if you had told me all that stuff when I was 7 years old, I would be like, that. I'm a little kid and that kind of sounds kind of stupid to me.
Yeah, so now, when you watch, like, A New Hope, every stormtrooper you see, you're like, that's a clone of Jango Fett? Like,
unless they started to, like, scrape the bottom of the barrel and, like oh, we've run out of Jango clones.
Did you guys see the trailer for the new one? Like, that came out, like, yesterday?
Looks outstanding.
Nice.
The new one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Real good.
I am interested in that.
All right. Star Wars is great.
So, come see Han Shot first at the Riot Theater. Next Friday and the following Friday, the last Friday in April and the first Friday in May. If you're listening to this, we make fun of Star Wars a lot. What do you guys have coming up that you'd like to talk about?
We have Typo has a Studio 40 show on May 1st that we're very excited about.
The actor Jake Busey is coming. I don't want to plug Jake Busey.
He's in Contact and The Frighteners, though. Great films.
We have a pitch show in New York, me and Mike Zakarian, Mighty 7-1, next Sunday. And then I think we're in Baltimore the next week. I don't know how I'm going to get down there, but I'll try to.
Talk to Omar from The Wire. He's heading down there that weekend.
Oh, great.
All right.
Jake Busey.
Thanks, Daniel. Thanks, Andy. And thanks for listening.